contrato hecho hace 3 años. Cabo. You have heard much discussion on this subject. You have heard it here. This takes into consideration many scriptures, and we do not always agree on all the fine features involving these scriptures. We recognize that all Revelation students do not agree on the meaning of all the symbols which are used to depict different experiences in this period of time. And this may create controversy at times. What should be our attitude then in regards to these things? I recently read some comments of a brother, older brother, that was in the group many years, and I'd like to read that later, his thinking about what our attitude should be in regards to some of these controversies. I recognize that perhaps this might immediately convey the thinking of some brethren to trying to sit on the fence. We're trying to preach the fact that we should be moderate and should be considerate of our brethren. But I don't want to appear as somebody sitting on the fence. Rather, that I would like to reach a conclusion and not to appear to want to have everyone conform to my way of thinking. I would like, perhaps, if others have to agree with me on some of these conclusions, but not convey the thought that you've got to believe as I do or else. Or else I can't enjoy your fellowship anymore. And this is a feeling that is conveyed to me at times by certain brethren when they become very dogmatic in their treatment of some of these subjects. Of late, I've heard several talks on the harvest, also on the time of trouble, and different viewpoints have been expressed. With both of these talks, there are many similarities. However, they present the trouble in opposite extremes, either in the future or in the past. And this includes subjects like Armageddon, the role of the ecclesiastical heavens, smiting of the Jordan, smiting of the image. I haven't got all the answers to every question related to these subjects, but I am trying to expand my knowledge and information from God's Word to guide me in my judgment. And a great help to me has been the fourth volume of the Studies in Scripture. Brother Russell has given us much to consider in regards to the time of trouble. And if we carefully go through the fourth volume, you will note the way the pastor uses many expressions, sort of as having an earlier beginning, a more active beginning, perhaps like in 1914, or even a greater application in the future. And I think that this is something that has to be taken into consideration and should be taken into consideration when we consider the time of trouble and how it will be fulfilled. But getting back to the comment that I mentioned, I'd just like to read this comment. And it is stated as follows. There are many prophecies of the scriptures that apply to the end of the age, the time in which we are living. Our pastor studied these prophecies and gave us valuable hints as to their meaning, their application, and their relationship to the divine plan. We believe all this was from our present Lord. Now our pastor is gone, and we have his writings to consult and the events of the world to study, including history. A number of the brethren are deeply interested in prophecy and are endeavoring to understand it more fully, and are trying to properly interpret the events since World War I to the present. Some of these studies, naturally, delve into the future concerning the end of the present order, both civil and ecclesiastical, and also concerning the final experience of the church. Presentations that appeal to the writer the most are those that endeavor to stick closely to the facts and that are stated in a moderate manner, with no sign of dogmatism, no sign of contempt for the views of others, who are likewise studying prophecy. we are in serious trouble, or the church is in serious trouble, if we are unduly stirred up by these studies and presentations. We think that brethren should be extremely careful as to how they state themselves in prophecy, so they will not stir up the emotions, but rather appeal to the facts that are evident to all of us. And where there may seem to be a reasonable uncertainty, each one can then say, I will wait and see. We are not serving the Lord's people acceptably if we place too much emphasis upon a presentation and prophecy, especially when prophecy can be very involved. It takes hours of time to study some of these matters thoroughly. It seems to the writer that all should be satisfied to say, this is how I view the matter, and then let each brother decide for himself. It is a tragedy if we create dissension over a prophetic viewpoint. Please read the first three sentences of paragraph 5 on reprint page 5374. The first two words are, this vision, and the last three words are, not by sight. And I read this over occasionally, brethren, and I do desire to put into practice this thinking when I speak about matters that may appear to be controversial. Or at least when I speak about matters that I may have differences of opinion about the brethren. And I may not have differences of opinion with you on this subject. But I do feel, however, though, that if we maintain the proper attitude in our presentation of the subject material, that we can have profitable discussion together. If we lose this proper attitude, I think we begin to lose the ability to have profitable discussion together. And brethren, I realize that everyone's experiences are different. My experiences are different than yours. But I think in all of our experiences, we try to react to the best of our ability, as the Lord, we feel, would direct in these matters. And we simply make these statements so that when we consider some matters such as these, we do not become overly, let's say, overly worked up to a point that we almost become enemies with each other. And this is not the feeling that I think should be amongst the Lord's people, but rather the reverse, that we should constantly try to maintain a spirit of dialogue amongst ourselves and to reach agreement on many of these issues. Now, getting back to time of trouble, I will probably deal with it in a much less involved degree than Brother Carl. I sometimes think of positions of elders as being the teachers in the church, but often think of a school, that some are qualified for teaching college, some are qualified for teaching grade school, some are qualified for teaching other classes. I don't think to feel myself that I'm so qualified as some of my other able brethren, and perhaps some of the thoughts may be more or less of a simple nature, but nevertheless, I feel that they can be profitable. They are stimulating to my faith, trusting that they might also be stimulating to your faith. Now, getting back to the trouble, just a short period of time ago, as we can all recall, we had a sort of a crisis in this country. I can recall within the last, say, 15 years, crises that came up, and maybe I'm even wrong, it's a 15-year period, but the last crisis, the great crisis that really, I think, affected our country from the standpoint of having an effect upon the people was the Cuban crisis. And I can recall people were so concerned with what was going to happen. We think of trouble, we never become too concerned about it unless it really comes home. And this is what happened with the Cuban crisis. It was right at home. And suddenly we were afraid that we're going to have a missile war from Cuba. It never began. But it was a crisis. And now, just recently, what is the other crisis that all of a sudden involved us and it made us aware of what was happening as far as trouble? Not that we don't recognize trouble. We read the papers. We read You read the magazine, and everything is there. You can't turn a page without some kind of a crisis or a problem or a trouble, but something that becomes so involved that it even reaches through every family. And that was the oil crisis. Suddenly, what happened? A handful of Arabs closed the valves on a flow of oil and almost crippled the world. This is what actually almost happened. The impact was felt by all of us. Shivering cold homes, turn the thermostats down. Everybody had to turn their thermostats down. Go to work, you're cold, put a sweater on. 3-day work week. Everybody can't work a week anymore. Got to conserve heat. Mass layoff, everybody being laid off. Inflated prices on fuel. Energy crisis seemed to bring out the worst in people also. Mad rush for the short items. People standing in lines at the gas stations, shooting each other. Somebody was cutting into a line. What a sudden turn of events. And notice also the trend of late with increased inflation, galloping inflation. Gasoline went up. After gasoline, it was something else. And sugar went up. Whoever heard of paying $2 a pound for sugar? The year before, they were selling for maybe 30 cents a pound, something like that. Along all lines, everything went up. Service, commodities, food, clothing. It seems that the struggle between capital and labor, the rich, the poor, the haves and the have-nots, all accelerated almost to a teapot temperature. Where will it end? This seems to be the question of many people. And in Detroit, they had a teacher strike within the past year or so. And the school started 2 months late. The union was assessed a fine for contempt of court. They never paid. Taxpayers had to pay for it all. And all this was perpetrated and conducted, even though it was unlawful. Against the law for the teachers to go on strike. So they all went on strike. Mass disobedience, no penalty. Nobody got fined. Nobody had to pay these big fines. Taxpayers have to foot the bill. Lack of enforcement along all lines. Beginnings of anarchy. I know there's a difference of opinion as to whether we're in anarchy or whether we're not in anarchy, but certainly I think we can see the beginnings of anarchy. Mass disobedience along various lines. Nobody being affected by it. We've seen other illegal strikes. Firemen, policemen, other civil servants who enter these professions knowing the arrangements in advance, yet still disregarding them. Then we know that there will be these times, the stress of nations with perplexity, men's hearts failing him for fear, for looking after the things which are coming upon the earth. And the Greek word used for perplexity, aporia, means no place to go or no way out. And this is where we find ourselves, isn't it? This is where mankind finds himself. No way out. What about Watergate? What a mass cover-up. What a sense of deep disappointment in the governmental system. All of these things are teaching humanity valuable lessons which could never be learned in any other way. Certainly there's trouble, isn't there? We're living in this time of trouble. And we believe that the Lord prophesied concerning this. He knew that things would develop in such a way. And he has given us abundant scripture to reinforce our faith and trust and confidence in him. One of the texts we think that deals with some of the trouble in the last day is the text in Matthew 24, 20 and 22. It says, we believe, but pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, it should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. You notice a dialogue in verse 22 mentions, but on account of the chosen, those days will be limited. And this is the thought, I believe, the proper thought of that scripture, that It will be because of the light, or through their work, that this trouble will be brought to a close. We are living, really, in times of great tribulation, aren't we? And I say this in a general standpoint, because I think the time will come when we really will be engulfed in greater tribulation. Greater tribulation. It says, pray that your light be not in the wind. And I think when that time comes, every man's hand will be in his neighbor. Now, in a general sense, this text has always suggested to my mind the fact that conditions in the world would be possible that would enable mankind to destroy itself completely. And we have always thought of different modes of warfare, but none seem to be capable of complete destruction until the atom bomb came along. And I can recall in my youthful days when the atom bomb came along, it was mentioned to me that scientists at that time were not at all positive that the explosion or setting off of this bomb might not create a chain reaction throughout the atmosphere. And they thought that it might be possible that suddenly all the air is gone. But if they blew it up, it didn't happen. But here, at least, with the fear that they had. And here we have the atom bomb. The atom bomb is nothing today compared to the hydrogen bombs and the other bombs. And they've got these stockpiles. And really, the world is living in fear. They have it within their power to destroy themselves. But the Lord said that He would intervene before mankind does destroy himself. Another fear, which recently has come about and suggests the destruction of the world we live in, is the need for restraint and physical pollution of the earth and its environment. If man does not stop his mad, selfish misuse of the resources of earth, we will soon face starvation and pollution beyond our ability to reclaim. And don't deceive the environmentalists working on trying to reclaim the things that they've been polluting, been destroying, because they're afraid that soon they'll reach a point of no return. And it's entirely possible, and I think that all of us with reasoning minds can see the probability of this being fulfilled if there would not be some intervention to prevent it. Now, there are various ways that we can see that are possible for mankind to destroy themselves. We're living in these times when this is possible. But the Lord still is not permitting this to come to pass until His due time, when He will accomplish all of His purposes. Now, in discussing this topic, the question may come to mind as to why are we having this trouble? It's not enough to know that we have trouble, but also to understand why. Many in the world will ask us the question, where is it all leading to, and what will be the outcome? We feel that the only logical and reasonable answer lies in the fact that this entire experience that mankind is having is as a result of a divine program. A divine program. And we try to impress this upon people when we talk to them. Because, certainly, is there any other logical answer to the condition that we find ourselves in, other than the fact that we have been placed here, we have come under condemnation through the fall of Father Adam, and that God has a plan of salvation, He has provided redemption through Christ, and this is working out according to a time clock of the ages, and we have reached a point on that time clock now when soon God is to take a more active affair or active hand in the affairs of men to bring about an end to this mad rush towards destruction. We believe that God is stepping in to take positive action now to right the wrongs of centuries past. Notice what the prophets have recorded for us concerning God's intentions in this respect. Notice Isaiah 42:13-14. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man.